Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I gave a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and mind-body coach based in Los Angeles. She spent over 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and many other TMS symptoms that left her physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and Jeannie is now obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. With support, consistency, and accountability, clients learn to stop making pain the problem. You may remember hearing Dr. Schubiner say on this show that we need to address our emotional issues and or life situations that need changing. But for many of us, this emotional work and making life changes is just too scary. So we just don't take any action, or we dive deeper into learning more information and attempts to avoid leaving that comfort zone. Does this sound familiar? This is why the right one-on-one coaching support could be a game changer for you. Besides decreasing their stress and chronic symptoms, Jeannie's clients are changing careers, increasing their income, and having more intimate connections in their relationships. Most importantly, they're having fun again. What's possible for you if pain wasn't holding you back anymore? Jeannie offers free 45-minute consults where together you'll identify what's holding you back so you can take your next steps towards healing. Go to her website, jeanniecolwin.com. That's JeannieKulwin.com to book your free call today. Welcome back to the show. It is Wednesday, April the 19th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I want to give a special shout out to all the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting the podcast and help keeping it on the air and available for people who enjoy it, like you, for free, consider going to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast to help out the show. Let me start up by giving a big shout out to Lauren and Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Kirk, Emily, Elise, Enda, Dominic, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single month. It honestly means the world. So, going to be a solo episode for today. I had that great re-air of Dr. Alicia Batson from last week, and if you've got some feedback on that, I would love to hear it. It was 4 years old, still seemed very timely, and some of the feedback and DMs that I've gotten about it, that seems to be the overwhelming opinion. And something I'm doing over the next couple of months is going in the Wayback Machine and finding interviews that that are relevant at all times. The nice thing about a lot of this stuff is the majority of it is very evergreen. So if there was and there's a lot of new listeners over the last couple of years on the show. So if you're somebody that wasn't listening 4 years ago, there's likely a lot of interviews with experts that are just buried. There's the original David Hanscom interview. There's the second David Hanscom interview. There's Dr. Schechter. There's all sorts that are sitting in there. And I'm going to bring them up to the top of your podcast feed over the next couple of months to take a little bit of a peek at. I mentioned that I had a great trip to WrestleMania a couple of weeks ago. I flew out on March the 30th, and my birthday was on the 27th. And I have this firm belief that basically, like, sort of March 20th-ish all the way until about April 10th are sort of like, I mean, that is the peak time for me. I'm still a fan. Even at 37, I'm still a fan of my birthday, which sounds weird to say. I was talking to my wife about this, and she's not as into birthdays, at least not into her own birthdays still. I think they're great, and they sort of bring me back to being a kid again in a lot of ways. But and then there always is baseball season starting right around that time. And then there's always WrestleMania time, which is the biggest show of the year if you're a wrestling nerd like me, and if you oftentimes will take trips to go to things that you really enjoy. That's what I always do, and people think I'm crazy for doing these solo trips, but I think that they're awesome. So be that as it may. The topic that I kind of want to tackle a little bit today, that I feel like has been a really big theme for me in my personal life, in particular over the last, let's call it 5 years or so. And I've only gotten better at it over time. So it's become something that I certainly care a lot about. And the first time that I heard it really talked about, not even talked about. It was a quote, and it's always stuck with me. And I think I've said it on the show before, but it was from 13 years ago on the show 24, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. But Kiefer Sutherland, his character Jack Bauer, was talking to the head of CTU. This was in season 8, I think, which was the one that was in New York City. And basically that director was just getting, and CTU is the counterterrorism unit, but he was just getting jacked around by officials in the government and people that were his bosses and just making him do all sorts of things. And he was being a yes man and all that. And Jack Bauer said this really powerful quote that has always stuck with me, where he said, "I've sat in that chair before, the one you're sitting in now, and I know what it's like. There's many demands on you. Many of them are unreasonable. And the ones who sat in that chair and have mattered are the ones who learned to say no." And I always thought the power of no is incredible. And like I said, this has been a pervasive theme in my life, especially over the last few years. And when I was talking to the University of Rochester students, you know, go back a couple of weeks if you haven't heard that yet. But one of the quotes that I had in there, one of the things I was talking about was being able to essentially accomplish the most things possible or get the highest bang for my buck or the biggest payoff possible by doing the least amount of work. And this goes in all different facets. So for instance, even just like in my gym training, you know, when I was a teenager or in my 20s, I would go to the gym for 2 hours a day. And now I find that I get just as much bang for my buck at 50 minutes or 60 minutes a day. And I don't exceed that. Just being able to get what's the maximum benefit that I can get in the shortest amount of time. That's how I see everything. And I think that the only way to really get there in a lot of ways is being able to say no. And I've thought about what is the best title for this podcast. And I've come to you could either call it The Power of No. And the other thing that you could call it is Protecting Your Peace. And so there's a couple of things. I'm going to link this in the show notes, but there's this really great article. Psychology Today, by the way, is a great online publication that they always have wonderful blogs, different topics, things like this. This was from November the 2nd, 2021, and I bookmarked this. The opening of it is, "While saying no can be empowering and liberating to some, for others it can be intimidating or uncomfortable. At times, society teaches us the word no is impolite and inconsiderate. We then feel more obligated to go along with things we honestly do not want to do in order to be socially acceptable. However, there are benefits to the word no. Saying no can create more mental health stability by helping with self-care and build your self-esteem and confidence by setting boundaries. Saying no may be a daunting thing to do, but there are always ways to make the process easier." And it goes through and talks about ways to do this, different ways of saying no, setting healthy boundaries, forms of self-care, when to recognize concerning patterns of behavior. So there's a lot of stuff in here that are, I mean, it's my wheelhouse. I love stuff like that. And I just think that there's extenuating circumstances sometimes, of course, where saying no is very tough. You have young children that have needs. It's tough to say no to them. But I'll give you a good example recently. Easter was recent, and my family tends to host, meaning my household, tends to host seemingly every family event. Thanksgiving, Christmas, all sorts of holidays. And it ends up being an enormous amount of work. A lot of that burden is on my wife. She really wants to make sure that everybody has this really, really great time. My perception, being her spouse, is that a lot of times she doesn't set enough boundaries for those things. So we'll agree to host, then we'll agree to prep everything, we'll agree to cook everything, make sure everybody's having a great time. Do you have a drink? What do you want to drink? You know, all this kind of stuff, and never gets to enjoy the actual moment herself. And so this year, I'd encouraged us to not host anything. And my parents had brought up, despite us already saying that we weren't going to host, they'd made another statement about them coming over for a brunch. And I had said, "We're not doing a brunch." And they had talked about a dinner, and I'd said, "We're not doing a dinner." So everything was cut off. And you know what? It was lovely. People came over for like an hour. We had nothing out. They got to see the kids, Zoe and Audrey. They got to watch the Easter egg hunt, and that was it. And you know what? They love us just as much as they would if we had a prime rib or whatever that was set out. And to me, there's no greater way of protecting your own peace than making sure that you are really the owner and the commander of your own schedule, your own time, and doing the best things that you can really do to preserve that. I think that that is a really powerful thing. I started looking at what are some examples of like protecting your peace. And so I found this It's from this website, minimalismmadesimple.com, and they did 17 ways. And I want to read these off for you. So, saying no when you need to, standing up for yourself, don't be afraid to walk away. I will tell you, and maybe it's a toxic trait, depends on who you ask. I'm an expert of being able to walk away from stuff that I don't want to do, or that I don't feel compelled to do, or things, people, places, relationships, family members that are not serving me in any way. And it's sad sometimes, but ultimately, what is my ultimate goal in life? And it is to preserve and protect my own peace. Because without that peace, you've got really nothing. I see people that are incredibly successful in their lines of work and they're miserable. And it's because they're not protecting their peace. And if there's something that this podcast has been all about, it's been about chronic illness and chronic pain. And a lot of that is, you could simplify it and say too much stress, but basically internalizing a lot of things and taking too much ownership, too much responsibility. And I think that a good way to alleviate yourself of those pressures of life are being able to set some healthy boundaries for yourself. And this is a part of that. Don't take things personally. Maintain a healthy work-life balance. I could go and be a corporate speaker at companies all around the world about maintaining a healthy work-life balance. I don't think there's anything more paramount, to be honest. Setting boundaries with friends and family. I talked about that a minute ago. Calm your mind through meditation. I do that plenty. And for some people, meditation is sitting cross-legged and holding your index finger to your thumb and holding them to your knees and going, That's usually what it shows up as on cartoons and things like that, but it's not what it is to me. For me, it's really any moment of silence where I'm tending to my inner state. And my inner state is really just, what are the bodily sensations that I'm feeling? And oftentimes this is just a deep attention or intention to my torso, oftentimes around my sternum, and could feel it in my mid back. I could feel it in my chest. I could feel it in my rib cage. That's oftentimes where I feel it. And that is where I am able to calm the mind through meditation. That's what I see as meditation for me. Focusing on your internal peace, listening to your inner voice, be grateful for what you have, take time for yourself. Let me go back. Number 10 was be grateful for what you have. And number 10, be grateful for what you have. I've given examples on this show before where a sign for me that I'm not tending enough to my inner state is when I start ruminating on anything. Doesn't have to be a situation. It could be a purchase of some kind. I've given the example of like cell phones in the past, but cars, motorcycles, anytime that I find myself over researching something and ruminating over a decision is when I ultimately know that there is some kind of I'm not tending to my inner state, inner feelings, if you will. And a lot of that has to do with being grateful for what I have. So if I'm sitting there in the midst of researching a car that I don't need, and I can take a step back and say, why are you researching a car? You need to do some more inner work and tend to yourself. And you should be grateful for what you have. You got a badass black truck. That's being grateful for what I have. And that's as simple as I can make it, is something like that. It's not a gratitude journal. It's not fake toxic positivity. It's literally being able to take a step back, and it could be over anything. I destroyed my shoulder several years ago. I had shoulder surgery. Well, what does work? That kind of thing. So taking time for yourself. Let go of what's negative in your life. I've got a brother that I haven't talked to in... We shared some words in 2017 over the course of 3 or 4 days. And then he found me on Instagram about a year and a half later and was promptly blocked. But outside of that, I've not talked to him since 2011. That's all I got to say about that. Remember that you can't change other people. I work in sales. I get my ass kicked on the daily. It's constant that I might make 50 or 60 cold calls in a day. And I might talk to 3 people, and one of those people was incredibly rude, told me to F off, hung up the phone, slammed the phone down, ignored me, whatever. Ultimately, I can't change other people. And this is something I try to get across when I talk to like my director or something. And like, you know, somebody picks a competitor over me, and I say, you know, I wish that they would have picked me. However, there's not a lot I could have done to change that. And if I can't change the outcome, it doesn't make any sense to sit here and ruminate or get mad about or anything like that. old Eddie, old salesperson Eddie from like 2011 until probably 2017, maybe even like 2019, would have felt that I could influence or change the outcome of people. Now, let's say to 2018. Would be that I solely could change other people's minds and change what it was they were doing. And I think that's a really frustrating way to live. So think about that. Declutter your physical space. That's something I need to work on. Although my gym and where I work out is constantly decluttered, meaning that so one of the last things I do every single night before I go to bed is I go into the garage, which is where the gym is, and I write down the warm up for the day, what the workout is, what the accessory work is for the day on the whiteboard. I tidy up the gym area, and that way when I walk in the next morning, I'm ready to rock and roll. And so to me, that's decluttering my physical space. I also don't let my car get crazy messy. I remember in high school and college in particular, there would just be stuff all over the floor in my car, and that is not really the case anymore. So, yeah, I wish my black truck and my black interior would stay looking cleaner. Fact, and people are going to think this is crazy, a white car to me is much more easy to keep clean than a black car is. I mean, like literally, I'll go and I'll wash it and within an hour or two, it looks dirty again. And Audrey's usually drawing she'll draw 20 smiley men or 20 smiley faces all in a row on the side of my truck. And people think it's really funny. And I actually think it looks like sperm from Look Who's Talking. But that's her trademark. That's what she'll do. The second that you see an ounce of dirt on my black car. Take a break from your virtual life. The internet is a wonderful place, but it's also a horrible place. This is what they wrote. You can waste hours upon hours on Facebook and Reddit alone. You don't even need to venture into Twitter or others. This is true. I used to set caps on some of the social platforms. I took 2 months off of Instagram in the summertime. I've done stuff like that a lot, actually. I think maybe the bigger thing in here is not necessarily taking a break from your virtual life, but recognizing that the virtual life is entirely fake and fabricated. And you sort of get just like a turn off to that. I love podcasts. That is my favorite thing, just listening to two people banter. And oftentimes it is just about wrestling, but lately it could be about baseball. I love listening to stuff like that. I'm not into like the self-help books, the self-help type stuff. Some people will say this podcast is like a self-help podcast. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I think the banter is better than like a self-help podcast. I'm not giving you orders. I'm telling you what I believe. So connecting with nature. I take a walk, usually 2 walks a day. I always walk 2 miles a day with the pups. They smell everything. We go on our 2 mile route. There's usually like 3 or 4 different paths that we'll take. And if it's the weekend, a lot of times I'll take them on the trail. And then I always take a second walk during the day. So I always get 3 miles every single day, whether it's dumping rain or whatever. I get 3 miles a day minimum of walks. I think that's important, being able to smell it. My goal is that if there's a long time where which doesn't happen often, if there's a prolonged amount of time where we don't get rain around here, I want to get that fresh rain smell, meaning like there's a specific smell that when it starts raining for the first time after it hasn't in a while, there's a certain smell to it. So it's a good time. And express yourself. Expressing your emotions to others is a great way to feel both better and develop stronger, healthier relationships. I think this is totally true. Vulnerability, I was not a huge fan of for a long time. And over the last 4 years, 5 years, have really just come to a point where, and part of this could just be getting older. I'm in my definitive late 30s now, as I like to say. And who I am is what I am. Here's the things I'm not good at. Here's the things that I am good at. This is who I am, take it or leave it, sort of an attitude. And it served me well, in my opinion. So thanks everybody for joining. I will be back next week with an interview. 20 minutes, abbreviated. Go Mariners and go Kraken. And I'll see you guys on the other side.